Welcome to episode 154 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefit. I'm going to redo that.
I was going to say, keep that in there. Just keep it in, like, pause. Episode, yeah. Well,
I don't even know what episode number we're on, because it's...
155.
Are friends with fantasy benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
And also the awesome part about still being a smoker is it then all moves into my lungs.
Newsflash, Justin, you've always been infected.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
The Cardinals are a very, very good team that's mediocre because of Mike Graffini.
Sounds like you're about to make a lot less money, Justin.
Well, it's hard to steal bags when you're jogging around the bases.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Is there somebody else talking? I don't hear anybody.
It's the voice inside your head, Mike.
Matt, what are your thoughts on him?
I have no idea, man.
Amazing analysis from Matt.
To put it bluntly,
we are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 155 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join me on this episode are Mike and Matt. Mike, how you doing?
Doing well. Brian Dozier hit another home run, which gives him 7 in the last 8 days. Absolutely absurd. Actually, it gives him 9 in the last 8 days overall. But yeah, that happened. And also, Raimel Tapia got another stolen base. So in your face, Matt.
We're also joined by Matt Thompson, who's getting shit talked to him before he even gets to say a word. Matt, how are you?
I was just kindly waiting my turn. I'm good, except I watched a vintage Mike Matheny meltdown today, so I'm in rare form.
Is he gonna get fired?
No.
Oh god, that must kill you.
It's I saw it on Twitter, and someone summed it up perfectly. The Cardinals are a very, very good team that's mediocre because of Mike Matheny.
Mm.
And it's accurate.
That sounds very accurate.
He let a 5-1 lead go away, and he was the same pitcher. He's left the same reliever in to give up 6 runs.
Awesome.
So that should pretty much never happen, right? In the fifth inning?
No, it should never, ever, ever happen. But, well, I mean, who am I to talk? Look at what the Giants have been doing. The best record in Major League Baseball before the break, and then I start growing out my playoff beard, and they I believe they have the worst record since the break. So
I'm hoping they don't make the playoffs. I mean, nothing would make me happier, honestly.
The Reds are beating the Mets right now, so that's good news for both of us.
Yeah, but I don't know. Well, the Rockies are beating us right now, so it doesn't fucking matter for me.
No, they're not. It's tied.
Oh, is it tied? Good. All right, well. There's that.
Fuck
then.
The Giants.
If you can't tell by my voice, I have been battling a pretty nasty cold for the last week. It was the reason why there was no Thursday podcast last week. But I am rallying right now. But I apologize if at some point you hear me cough or sniffle or something like that. Unfortunately, when kids go back to school, they start spreading germs around and then I get infected. So that's that is the awesome part about being a parent, and also the awesome part about still being a smoker is it then all moves into my lungs.
Newsflash, Justin, you've always been infected.
This is true.
It's 2016 and people still smoke cigarettes. Crazy to me.
It's absolutely amazing. For those of you who live in California, they've got this new proposition going on the ballot in November. I think it's like Prop 56. And it's going to raise the price of cigarettes by like a dollar or something like that. So like they'll go from being like $5.50 to $6.50. And man, do the tobacco companies are spending so much money trying to beat that prop with like some of the best commercials you've ever fucking heard. It's unbelievable.
Sounds like you're about to make a lot less money, Justin.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be trading in my extra, $7 to $10 a week on cigarettes. I got to quit. It's going to happen here one of these days. But let's go ahead and jump right in and talk about the players for today's episode. We're going to talk, a little bit, of course, about the rest of this season, but mostly we're going to start kind of shifting our focus into next year and how we feel about these players long term. Because, at this point, a lot of the guys we're going to talk about aren't available on the waiver wire. And it's not like in most trade deadlines have passed. So you can't really go out and acquire a lot of these guys. They'll be interesting topics for next year and kind of start getting a preview into what we start thinking about players in terms of keeper league, in terms of dynasty, and in terms of redraft for next season. So let's start with Jose Abreu, who had a pretty slow beginning part of the season, but has really turned it on as of late. Mike, what are your thoughts on Jose Abreu kind of coming into next year, coming off of this hot streak?
I mean, you kind of touched on it. At the beginning of the year, he had as many home runs as he's had so far in the second half, pretty much in 113 more at-bats. So, I mean, he definitely struggled to start the season. He was actually featured in a first base piece I did in the offseason on, guys I liked, guys I disliked. And Abreu was one of the guys I disliked for this season. It was because some of his metrics went down in the second half of 2015. Some of your hard contact and, home run to fly ball rate. And, he has been steady since he's been in the league. I mean, nobody can really argue that. He's been a steady first base contributor. You can't really, complain about what he's given you, but the first half of this year is kind of, in my opinion, the beginning of the floor that we'll see with a guy like Abreu. And I'm glad that he's turning it on the second half, because I've always enjoyed watching him. I think that he's a really solid player, but if you look at the NFBC ADP going into this year, he was the fourth highest first baseman, getting taken about 21st overall. In my opinion, you'll be seeing him probably in the range of where Lucas Duda went, maybe higher, maybe where Albert Pujols went, this year, which was about top 10 first base area, somewhere between 70 and 100 overall, which I think is fine for somebody like Abreu. But the fact of the matter is the White Sox lineup isn't doing him any favors. He's just not somebody that's going to give you anything in stolen bases. His power is starting to tail off a bit. And really the point of paying for a guy that's going to get you, 25 home runs and, a pretty solid batting average just isn't worth a top four round pick, in my opinion.
Matt, what are your thoughts on Jose Abreu going into next year?
Going into next year, he's probably around my 8 or 10 rated first baseman preseason. I'm a little higher than Mike is right now. He went to that Major League Baseball to Cuba tour this offseason, and he actually, he has some off the field stuff bothering him this year. He met his kid for the second time ever, and then I guess he had a hard time leaving his kid, and then he reunited with his kid over the All-Star break and brought his kid back with him to the States, and he's been tearing it up ever since. I mean, I'm sure it's not directly related to that, but I mean, it's nice to the dude's finally focused just on the field, and been red hot the second half. I mean, he's one of those goofy guys too. It's kind of interesting. He's a reverse platoon split. He actually does better against righties than he does lefties for the last 2 years now. I still like Abreu. Good park for him. Like I said, top 8 to 10 perspective for me to going forward and for next year.
Yeah, I think I'm more in line with you, Matt. And I don't want to understate what the off the field problems he was going through, kind of how they affected him. I think we, as fantasy baseball players, analysts, baseball fans, and I've said this on numerous occasions, we forget that these are people too, going through real life things. We saw it with Gene Segura, with Josh Hamilton, things like that. The things off the field can sometimes have a real impact on the field. How hard would it be to you to concentrate at your job on a day-to-day basis if you aren't able to see your kid, when you get home at night? That would devastate me. So I think that probably is a real impact. It's not something we can necessarily measure in terms of numbers, but he's definitely been a much better, much more complete player since the second half. I think this is a really good sign of things to come. Will he go back to being the 2014, 2015 Jose Abreu? Probably not. But I agree with you. I think he's still a top 10 guy. Let's do a would you rather for next year at first base. Obviously, I can skip Goldschmidt, Miggy, E5, Rizzo,
Votto,
Will Myers or Jose Abreu?
Myers.
I'm taking Abreu. I don't believe in Myers.
What? Honestly, how can you – I mean, and I'm not trying to sit here and shit on Abreu. I'm really not. But how can you sit here and really think that Will Myers is not as good in fantasy as Jose Abreu? Because even in his worst year, even in Myers' worst year, he'll hit above 20-something bombs if he stays healthy, which is a big factor.
That's
so
the thing.
If you're weighing in on health, I can understand. But on
health,
pure skills,
park,
no.
Lineup yep. around him.
Yep.
I'm gonna go Myers.
Thank God.
But it is extremely close, and the only thing that puts Myers above Abreu for me is the speed. Because
I'll bet you you want to bet that Myers doesn't steal 25 bags next year.
Yeah, no,
it's
no,
not about
I don't,
him
I don't,
stealing
I don't
25
think,
bags though. Like
I don't think he steals 25 bags, but if he can steal 15. That makes up for the deficiency in average.
It does, certainly.
You know? And there's upside for more. Let's see. Abreu or Albert Pujols?
That was the original line for me. I had Pujols right below Abreu.
Pujols is having a sneaky, nice year.
He is.
I mean, almost a 270 average. He's going to have over 30 home runs, 110 RBIs in that awful Angels lineup, even chipping in a couple steals. I'm going to go Pujols. God, that's really close, actually. I think that's a tier for me with Myers, Pujols. I think I would go. Man, I really don't know. I'm going to go Abreu. But it's really close.
They're essentially the same. They're essentially the same. Whichever one I think is going later in drafts is who you would go with. But you haven't even mentioned a couple more guys yet, you know?
Well, I haven't gotten to them yet. Chris Davis or Abreu?
Crush for me.
Yep, Davis.
Even with a 226 average.
He's always been a guy deficient in average. He's just kind of, you know, you have to take that into account when drafting him.
Okay. I just, you know, for me that... That 226 average really, you know, because I would assume that Abreu is going to stay around 300. You know, that's 70, you know, points, you know, in average, 70, 80 points in average.
But you're one to bank on punting average because there's so much variance in it. Who's to say that, you know, Abreu has a down year next year and is batting 268? And Crush has a up year and goes 248, you know, himself, all of a sudden that 20 points in batting average compared to 15 to 20 home run differential isn't that, you know, ends up being.
But I mean, at this point, isn't Chris Davis's value built largely upon his name? Because what's the difference between Chris Davis and Chris Carter?
Well, Chris Carter this year has really bumped back up to being a guy that's even serviceable. There's been a couple of years that Chris Carter was
there was a couple years where Chris Davis hasn't been serviceable.
Sure, but for the last 4 or 5 years straight, Chris Davis has been consistently on fantasy teams and, you know, a pretty big, you know, piece for fantasy teams as well. Chris Carter, on the other hand, has been even more just, you know, up and down. It's kind of but this year, for once, Chris Carter has kind of held it all together all season.
Okay, let's get back to Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu or Eric Hosmer?
Hosmer. Not close.
I'm going to Abreu.
What? Okay, yeah. You're absolutely crazy.
I'm going Hosmer because of the speed.
Matt, I can't talk to you. You and I aren't talking the rest of the we're not talking the rest of the show at all. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Hosmer's not my. I've never been big on him, man.
I've always been a Hosmer believer. All right, last one. Jose Abreu or Hanley Ramirez?
Abreu.
I'll go Abreu there.
All right. I think that gives us kind of a good idea of kind of where he stands. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about Kevin Gausman, our boy Kevin Gausman. who was pitching well as of writing this. I don't know what he did, and I don't know what he did in those last starts. So
he did well. He did well.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So well. We're good. Is this the beginning of the Kevin Gausman that we've all kind of been hoping and waiting for, Mike?
Yes, it is. I mean, we're finally seeing it all kind of get put together. There's still some inconsistency. He's not really solid on a third offering, but the velocity is great. He's pitching outstanding at home, which I know kind of seems weird since he pitches in, you know, Camden Yards, one of the best places to hit in all of baseball. But, you know, this I feel like he is finally able to kind of turn the corner here. He's top 15 in ERA in the second half thus far. He's top 10 in strikeout rate, all, you know, both things that are heavy in fantasy lineups and, you know, in fantasy scoring. There's really the only problem I have with Gausman is the fact that he's still an Orioles pitcher and he pitches in such a bad ballpark. But the fact that he is really, I mean, if you look at his home road splits for this year, you know, he has a 2.27 ERA at home and a 4.82 ERA on the road. Only three
splits last year too.
Yeah, and so the fact that he has been better at home really kind of you know, negates that fear of mine that he pitches in Camden Yards. So for me, Kevin Gausman, going into next year, I think he is a firm top 40 starter for me. I don't know where you'll have to buy him yet. You know, with pitching just being in such flux this year, it's hard to really get a gauge of where his value might be. But if he's ranked among the top 40, I will be okay with getting him there. If he starts creeping up into the, like the top 25, then I'll be kind of a bit more hesitant and stuff. But for now, if he is ranked in the top 40 next year, I'm completely okay with it. I believe it.
I'm right there with you. I'm even close to being ready to put him towards my top 30, but I don't think I'll quite be able to do
it's just that. The innings. The innings haven't quite been there yet. You know, this is the first year that he's eclipsed almost 150 in the majors. So, you know, next year, if he takes an even bigger step up, you're looking at 180, possibly 200 if they decide to go that route,
mm-hmm.
which would put him top 30 if he continues what he's done this year. But,
yeah. You know. Matt, what are your thoughts on Gausman kind of going forward?
I'm right there with you guys. I think he's borderline. I'm more toward the back end of the top 30, 35-ish. So I'll go to 35 to 40 range. So I'm right there with you. Hopefully this is the year he puts it together and can put together a nice consistent streak for a while. And I'm glad Mike mentioned the home and away splits. Like I said, the splits are actually worse last year. In 2015, he had a 6.10 ERA on the road, 4.8 this year. The whip was 1.4 and it's 1.5 this year. He's been really bad. He's been just as good at home again. He might be one of those guys you have to stream in deeper leagues, but hopefully not. Hopefully the stuff forward you can take and you can take it with him on the road. And just imagine how good he's going to be when he leaves Baltimore.
let's do a quick would you rather with Gausman. And I'm going to start with a guy that was really hot kind of pretty much all season long, or at least since his call up, and has kind of tailed off as of late a little bit, and that's Michael Fulmer.
Ooh, Fulmer I'm going Fulmer, yeah.
Oh, I'm going Gausman.
Really?
Yeah, I think the league is starting to catch up with Fulmer just a little bit. And I'll take the pure stuff that Gausman has over Fulmer.
Fulmer's pure stuff's pretty good, too.
Fulmer's stuff took an uptick forward this year. So, yeah, I'm with you, Mike.
Is there somebody else talking? I don't hear anybody.
It's the voice inside your head, Mike.
Let's do Kevin Gausman or...
I've got one for you. How about Gausman or Dylan Bundy?
Oh, Gausman.
Gausman because of the innings.
Okay, I didn't know if that was close. Bundy's been pretty good except for the home run problem.
He has been good.
But... I think Bundy will be kind of an underrated entity coming into next season, but I'm still going to go with Gausman because I just don't know. I just don't know how many innings we'll get out of Bundy next year.
Fair enough.
Let's do Gausman or Rich Hill.
Rich Hill. God. I'm a big Rich Hill boy, though, man. I love him.
I'm going Gausman. Just for the love of God, Hill can't stay healthy. I mean,
yeah, the blister issue is getting ridiculous.
I'll take Hill and I'll take Hill and Abreu over Gausman and Will Myers any day.
Or
okay, Gausman or Steven Matz.
Gausman, Mats is just, you can't depend on him to stay healthy.
Yeah, I have to go Gausman. I wish I could say Mats, but I have to say Gausman.
Yeah, I think anything deeper than a 10-team league, you got to go Gausman. But in a 10-team league, I mean, you can make, or 10 or 12-team league, you can make the argument Mats because the replacement on the waiver wire. But I think you guys are right. One more, Jared Eichhoff, who's had a really interesting season, and I kind of like going forward, but would you take Gausman or Eichhoff?
I need to look up more about Eichhoff.
No, Eichhoff's been really solid this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would go Gausman, but...
Gausman because of the ceiling.
You could probably get Eichhoff somewhat, like, I'd say...
I think you get Eichhoff way cheaper.
Exactly, and if you base that into the cost next year, if we have the same question next year around draft time... and we bake the cost in, we might all be saying Eichhoff.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Mike, 100%.
All right, let's go ahead and move on and talk about Yasiel Puig, who's come up and been good since his call-up and his banishment to AAA. Matt, what are your thoughts on Yasiel Puig moving forward this year and then into next?
He's good because he's always been good. I mean, he's got, yeah, if you have to deal with all the shit, but you know that. If he just needs to stay healthy, he's got nagging injuries with groin and the wrist and all that stuff. I mean, if he's healthy and the Dodgers let him play, he'll be good. But if they keep wanting him to be the guy that he's not going to be off the field and let him not be Yasiel Puig, he's going to continue to be the same song and dance and with Dave Roberts and stuff that he is now. I mean, if I have him in Keeper Dynasty, I'm trying to sell him. I did actually, and the two shares I had, I got rid of them in both leagues. I sold up though. I mean, I got an older veteran player that's actually hitting for him in return, but I mean, I'm not giving him away. So I'm selling him in Keeper Dynasty, but I mean, redraft, I guess you could pick him up now if he ain't going to cost you anything.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Puig rest of the season then moving into next year?
I mean, here. He did great in the minor leagues once he got sent down. There's been multiple reports that he really got his head adjusted and, you know, was really, you know, had a circumstance of being humble, you know, going down to the minor leagues. And in some cases that works. You know, I don't know with Puig, this isn't as much of a talent issue as it is. I just don't know where his head is at. You know, if he can actually focus and not get, you know, caught up in being Yasiel Puig for a day, then the sky is the limit for him. I've always been a backer of Yasiel Puig. I love him to death. There's nothing really bad I can say about him. You know, when he got sent to the minor leagues, he hit, you know, 360 with five bombs and, you know, 80 at bats. That shows how good he is, and he doesn't need to be in the minor leagues. So, you know, if you're asking me as far as value for the rest of this year, Josh Reddick, the player that they traded for to essentially take his job, has been struggling. I think that Puig will play the majority of the games. It might not be initially, but he's pretty much an ad for me in 12-team leagues. Or deeper, for that matter. I'd say in 10-teamers, you don't have to add him, but he's somebody that should be on your watch list. Going into next year, you know, I'd say that you know, where was he drafted this year? Probably somewhere along the lines of
way too high this year.
Yeah, he was taken as the 23rd outfielder, top 80. So I would expect that number to drop almost double, you know, maybe somewhere in the 160 range where Chris Davis with a K was taken, Dexter Fowler, Jock Peterson, Mark Trumbo, all of those guys. So I would say he probably drops to around there next year. And we'll just kind of have to wait and see how his offseason goes. He was claimed by the Brewers when, you know, he ended up getting put on waivers. So we'll see if he ends up getting moved. I don't know yet. We'll have to see what happens in the offseason. But for now, I think he's an ad in 12-team leagues.
Yeah, he's definitely an ad for this year. I added him in a couple leagues when he was down in the minors and just threw him into my NA slot and minor league slots to kind of hold on to him. So I'm hoping and I believe that he will get plenty of run kind of rest of the way. In terms of next year, I think he's going to be underrated. I think there are a lot of people who play fantasy baseball and like baseball who just hate Yasiel Puig for being Yasiel Puig, and will just kind of write him off. And I think his ADP is going to drop pretty considerably. I think he's going to come at a value. He may need a change of scenery, but I just don't know. I mean, if I remember correctly, and I'm double checking this right now as I talk, his contract is absolutely ridiculously cheap. I mean, he's getting paid $6.5 million next year and then $7.5 million in 2018. So the Dodgers are going to want a haul for him. I just don't know if anybody is going to be willing to give them that haul in order to acquire him. You know, I think a number of teams are just automatically eliminated because they just don't have the pieces necessary. And then I think the remaining teams probably just won't want to shell out the prospects or even major league players it's going to take. So he's probably going to be on the Dodgers next year, but you got to think his talent is going to win out over what they have there currently. Let's go ahead and talk about AJ Ramos, who since coming back from the DL hasn't been the closer. Fernando Rodney has been Rodneying it up. They've said Mattingly has said that until they feel comfortable that Ramos can pitch on back-to-back days, he's going to stay kind of in a setup or a little bit lower leverage role than closing. What are your guys' thoughts on AJ Ramos rest of this season? Is he droppable in leagues that don't have holds? And then going into next year, let's start with you, Matt.
Yeah, I think he's droppable. He's not getting all the save opportunities now. Fernando Rodney's been pretty good in that role. If you don't have holds, I mean, he's not helping you in WHIP or anything. So I think he's droppable. I mean, next year going forward, I think he's got to be the closer for the Marlins. Might be Bear Claw though, so we'll see. But you can go ahead and cut Ramos.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Ramos rest this year and then going into next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's certainly droppable in shallower formats. We never know with Rodney, you know, what's going on. I think he has an option year after this season's over. So you very well could see him return to the Marlins and, you know, assume the same role. They have a couple of nice, you know, pieces back there. You mentioned Bearclaw. He's been stellar this year as well. But in terms of, you know, regular 5x5 formats where there's no holds involved, I think it's safe to say that Ramos won't net you enough saves the rest of the way to where you can't use that spot to a better advantage in your format. So for now, I'd say he's a drop. If there is a scenario where Rodney just continues to tank and, you know, Ramos takes the role back, then of course he's another add, but I chances are that won't happen.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's obvious in your 10 team leagues and he's probably droppable. As you start moving into your 12 and 15 man leagues though, I think you should probably hold on to him because Rodney has not been good as of late. He's allowed, in his last two outings, allowed 5 earned runs, given up a home run, walked 3 batters. I don't think he's long for this role. So, and I think that Ramos becomes the instant kind of guy that gets thrown back in it. So I think if you are in a league in which saves aren't just widely available on the waiver wire, you might as well hold on to Ramos for another week and see if he can get that role back. I think he's probably pretty close to doing back-to-back days anyways, so he's been off the DL for a little while. So in your 12-team leagues or anything deeper than that, I'm probably holding on to AJ Ramos. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about D. Gordon, who has been pretty putrid since coming back from his suspension. Mike, is this a matter of he no longer has steroids, or is this the kind of time that he's just kind of getting the rust off and he's going to be fine going into next year?
Yeah, I'm not really basing anything off of the steroid use. None of us, no matter what pundit or analyst that you see, you know, making any type of hot takes on this matter with steroids, no matter what you see there, nobody really knows what kind of effect steroids have on you. I'm going to bank on what I've seen from D. Gordon the last couple of years. Yeah, you know, players go through kind of cold stretches, and, you know, he went through a 3 or 4 year cold stretch with the Dodgers. So, I mean, things could be worse. But, you know, for me, I've always loved D. Gordon. He still makes great contact. I'm not really worried about it from a 2017 perspective. I actually think this might be more of an opportunity where you can buy him lower in Keeper Dynasty. And for next year, he might go lower than, I mean, he was close to a first rounder this year when you're looking at past drafts and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe this is an opportunity where he goes in the top 40 as opposed to the top 20. You know, either way, I still buy what he represents. I think that if he was to play a full season this year, he would have been among the stolen base leaders. I know Billy Hamilton has 58 and he's up top. So D. Gordon easily can do that. And that's what you draft him for in the first place. So,
Matt, what are your thoughts on D. Gordon going into next season?
It's quite simply, I don't think you can take any stock in anything this year. I think you kind of just have to toss it out. And I mean, maybe, I mean, obviously he wasn't going to hit 330 again. I think we all knew that. But I just don't see any reason why he can't hit 290, 300 next year and steal 50, 60 bags even again. So, I mean, I'm still on the D. Gordon train, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I don't know. If you, like Matt just said, he's not going to hit 330 again. And I don't know, you know, if I would necessarily pencil him in for 290 to 300, but I'd pencil him in for, you know, 275. And then just a shit ton of stolen bases. I think you just kind of have to, like you guys said, just wipe the slate clean, kind of pretend 2016 didn't happen. Go into 2017 thinking that he's going to be on top of what should be a pretty potent lineup next year with those guys in the outfield especially. And that he has the ability to steal a ton of bases, score a bunch of runs, and be a, you know, somewhat asset to, or at least not a detriment to your average. So he's definitely a guy I like. I'm interested to see where you guys kind of rank him for second base next year. So let's do another would you rather for D. Gordon. D. Gordon or DJ LeMahieu?
D. Gordon.
D. Gordon.
D. Gordon or Robinson Cano?
Robinson Cano.
D. Gordon.
I'm going Gordon too. And it, I mean, it'll obviously come down to team construct, especially if you're in an auction. But for me, the speed is just so valuable nowadays. D. Gordon or Brian Dozier?
Dozier.
D. Gordon.
Dozier. I'm going Dozier.
Whatever, you guys are just buying the Kool-Aid from the last freaking couple weeks, man. Like,
well, no, because he offers speed too. You know, he's gonna finish the year 40-15. Yeah. And let's say obviously he's not gonna hit 40 again. Let's say he hits 28. I'm gonna give him a few more stolen bases. You're talking about a guy who's probably gonna hit 275, which is the same as D. Gordon, is gonna hit you 28 home runs next year. And then steal probably 20 bags, 15 to 20 bags.
Well, he hasn't stole 20 bags since 2014, and that was the only time he ever did it. And
well, it's hard to steal bags when you're jogging around the bases.
Yeah, I mean, and he hit 28 last year, which was a career high. All of a sudden, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we have another D. Gordon situation on our hands with Brian Dozier. Yeah, I'll throw that out there.
Oh, hot takes all around.
Yeah, Brian Dozier's like, wait a minute, I don't know how that happened. You know, he'll try and skate out of it like D. Gordon, who was a member of the first and only segment of Dick Not a Dick.
No, we did another segment.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. And we will be bringing that back in full force next season. D. Gordon or Gene Segura?
D. Gordon. Maybe I'm too high on D. Gordon, but I don't really see anything changing with him.
Yeah, I'm going to go D. Gordon as well. All right. Did I do D. Gordon or Odor?
No, you didn't, but I still take
it. No. I'm going Odor.
I am. Yeah, I'm going to go Odor. No. God, that's really close for me. I'm going to go D. Gordon. But that's really close. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Rick Porcello, who has had a really nice season in Boston. And it's been talked about quite a bit earlier on, but hasn't been talked about very much, at least, you know, from what I've been hearing out in the industry in the last couple months. I want to know what your guys' thoughts on next season for Rick Porcello. Matt, what are your thoughts on him?
I have no idea, man.
amazing analysis from Matt.
To put it bluntly, I'd rather have him over Gausman. I don't know if that's a earth-shattering statement to make. I mean, you're chasing wins with Porcello, and I don't – him winning 20 games again probably won't happen. I'm not that excited about him, so I won't own him next year, but I'll put him in my 25 to 30 range.
He is currently the number 7 starting pitcher on the ESPN Player Radar, Mike. What are your thoughts on Porcello for next year?
He's certainly not this, and this is completely fueled by the fact that he has 19 wins. That's you know, first and foremost, that's why. And, you know, I will say this, you know, the fact that he was taken outside of the top 300 in drafts, you've already attained value for him. So, you know, if you ended up drafting him, like, at the end of your, you know, 12-teamer or whatever, like, you know, bravo, you ended up already getting enough, you know, for what he offered. But for me, man, it comes down to the fact that he's not this good. And really, if you look at his peripherals, they haven't been as great anyways. His xFIP is closer to 4 than it is to 3. You know, his strikeout rate is almost identical. It's actually a little bit less than it was in 2015. He's really limited the walks well. So that's something good to see. But his velocity is a little bit down from last year. He's limiting home runs. Like, there's nothing different about Rick Porcello in 2016 than in 2015. The only real difference is that his ERA is down because he's getting a little bit lucky with you know, BABIP. His BABIP is 280 and the 19 wins. And so that, for me, it's just going into next year, I certainly don't think he should have been taken outside the top 300 going into 2016. But, you know, going into 2017, I have a feeling he's going to be going in the top 150 when he shouldn't be.
You know, there was a guy that drafted him in a bunch of like AL only leagues, and after his first 3 awful starts to start the year,
dropped him.
And he is the host of this podcast.
You heard it here first, everybody. Don't listen to the host.
Yeah, exactly. I took Rick Porcello for like a dollar in like a bunch of AL only leagues and then dropped him, and someone else has benefited. There has been some slight differences. He's given up a few less homers than he did last year. He's walking a few less guys. His strand rate's gone up just a tiny bit. Do I think that he is the 2015 Rick Porcello in costume? No, I think he's better than that. But do I agree with you, Mike, that he is going to the numbers are going to regress fairly decently? I do believe they will. I think he's probably much closer to a 3.7 ERA kind of guy, 3.6, 3.7 than he is a 3.2. The strikeouts aren't as impressive as I think they could be. He pitches in a bad ballpark. I think those homers will probably come back at some point and bite him in the ass. So, yeah, the BABIP, he's gotten a little bit more lucky this year than in years past in the BABIP. So I think that, yeah, we're going to see a little bit of regression next year. But like you said, like, I mean, considering where you got him this year, unless you were like me and dropped him early on, you got a ton of value, but I think this may be one of the most overrated players coming into 2017.
Well, and I hope I didn't sound negative on him, because I'm not trying to be negative on Rick Porcello. I just, you know, for me, the fact that he, you know, is pretty much pitching a run, you know, less than his ERA or his xFIP or expected ERA in terms of baseball HQ metrics. And, you know, the fact that he is, you know, really not that changed in any of his other metrics is kind of the reason why I'm saying that. And on top of that, you know, when at his core, he is a ground ball pitcher who mm-hmm. offers a little bit better strikeout rate than somebody like a Kendall Graveman, you know? So at the end of the day, he is somebody that might be all right with some of a higher elevated left on base rate because he's able to get those grounders with the sinker. But at the end of the day as well, he's not a top 25 starter. He's certainly not a top 10 guy, according to the ESPN Player Rater, you know?
Now, and Matt said he would take him over Gausman. Would you?
No, I wouldn't. I would take Gausman, and that's strictly because of strikeouts, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think in a wins league you can make the argument, because as much as we say the 19 wins are fluky, he plays on, you know, he plays with one of the best offenses in baseball behind him.
Agreed.
So, I mean, you know, he could pitch a 3.7 ERA, 3.6 ERA next year. And still get 20 wins in Boston. Whereas I don't think Gausman could do the same if he pitched to the same rates. But the strikeouts and in a quality start league especially, I'm going to take Gausman over Porcello. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about Byron Buxton, who has been a different hitter. You guys kind of briefly mentioned him in the Prospect podcast on Monday, but I wanted to kind of talk about him going into next year, because I mean, he's been on fire. If he's available, you pick him up. But I want to ask you guys, Matt, do you think this is a sustainable change that he's made, and going into next year that he could finally kind of reach some of the prospect pedigree that we've been salivating over?
I think so. I mean, he's a guy, he's cut down the swing a little bit, still striking out over the last 10 games a little bit too much still, but he's red hot. Showing the speed, he'll hit a handful of homers. I mean, I still think he's a 260, 270 guy max, just because of the strikeouts and stuff. But I mean, he can give you 30 bags with that. So yeah, I like it going forward and for next year.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Byron Buxton?
Yeah, I'll fully admit when I'm wrong about players, and I'm not going to say that I was wrong about Buxton yet, because I've been low on him since he's come up to the major leagues. But we saw some improvements in the AAA before he came up. And then, you know, since he's come up, not only did I say on the prospect pod that he's been raking, but it's more been a change of when you watch him, he has a plan when he's at the plate. He's not swinging at, you know, random nonsense that's outside of the zone, which means that his eye is getting better and he's maturing up there. The fact that he has a couple home runs and, you know, 20 at bats since he's been back up is certainly encouraging. We know the skill set. I mean, this is a number one used to be the number one prospect in all of baseball. The upside is already baked in here. We know how high his upside is. What it comes down to is whether he's ready to hit major league pitching. And I think that he certainly has made a step in the last month and a half of the season so far. So for next year, you know, we'll kind of take into account the rest of, 2016. And, you know, last year he was going about pick 180 in drafts. I wouldn't be surprised if it falls about the same going into next year. Somewhere where he's a top 50 outfielder, I think that that's about right for him. If you want to push him a little bit more up the ranks because of how he finishes, I'm okay with that as well, depending on whether these gains stay the same or not. But regardless, I'm much more encouraged now than I was a couple months ago, and we'll kind of see how things go the rest of the way.
I think they've kind of messed around a little bit with his mechanics since they drafted him, Minnesota drafted him. And I think that they have messed him up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I think he's starting to get back to what feels natural to him. I think August Fagerstrom of Fangraphs, I want to say it was him. Yes, it was him. Wrote an article about his leg kick. And kind of reinstituting that, and that seeming to help him kind of put things together. I mean, he's been great at AAA this year. I mean, slashing 305, 359, 568, and stealing bases, hitting home runs. I think this is the beginning of where he turns it on. And I think people forget that he's still extremely young. And, you know, he's only 22 years old. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer for these prospects to kind of get things together, especially if they make it up to the majors quickly and struggle as Buxton did. His defense will always keep him in the lineup, which is something to remember. A lot of times in fantasy, we kind of forget to think about, you know, how good they are at defense. And Buxton has good enough defense to keep him in the lineup next season. I think this I think this is the beginning of really nice things, and I think Buxton is going to be pretty underrated, like you just said, coming into next year, Mike. Let's go ahead and move on, and we'll talk about Derek Holland, who's put together a few nice outings since coming off of the DL. Derek Holland, for those of you who haven't been playing for a ton of time, was a top-tier prospect at one point, a power lefty, but has never really put it together with the porn stash at the major league level. Matt, what are your thoughts on Derek Holland moving forward for the rest of this year and then into next season?
I've always liked him if he can stay healthy, and that's obviously been the big problem. The ballpark is kind of scary out there in Texas, but, I mean, like you said, he's a solid four starter for you in fantasy format for next year. I don't see any reason why he can't be. The long-term shoulder issue, and then he had a fluky knee injury a couple years back. that'll slow him down a little bit. But I mean, I think he'll be fine going forward for this year. Obviously, he needs to be owned. And for next year, I have no problem, like I said, taking him to be toward the middle of my pitching staff.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Holland moving forward?
Just, I'm not interested. I'll take him as a streamer in my shallower formats, but in deeper leagues, AL onlys, and you know, deeper, you know, 20 team leagues and such, I'm not interested. Flyball pitcher that you know is pitching in one of the worst ballparks in the major leagues in Arlington, has never, his strikeout rate has actually gone down considerably since he was a decent prospect. His velocity isn't nearly good enough. You know, that's also trended downward since his heyday back in, you know, 2012, 11, 13 area. You know, he has strung together some decent starts here, which I'm okay with, and you know, certainly is usable. But at the end of the day, you know, as far as longevity, that's just not something I feel is sustainable for him.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. I guess I've always just kind of been a fan of him. I remember watching him, you know, in the World Series against the Cardinals back in the day, and he was a really good arm. I mean, injuries slowed him down. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit too high on him. I understand why you're out, but I'm willing to still roll the dice. I think there's a little bit there.
His pitches are mediocre, too. I know, like, a couple Fangraphs guys have done a few pieces on him, and, you know, just his secondary offerings aren't anything special. And then when you factor in that his command isn't that great, velocity isn't that great, righties are crushing him in his career. Certainly a guy I target when righties are about to be facing him and, a righty-heavy lineup is facing him. You know, there's just a lot going negatively for Holland. And so, you know, again, he's more of a streamer, but not somebody I'm really targeting at all.
I think he's more of a deep league guy. I like what I've seen since coming back from the DL. But the strikeouts have never developed in a way that I thought they would. And that is quite a problem. But I like the fact that he's a lefty. I like what I'm seeing kind of in, you know, kind of towards the end of the season coming off the DL. If this is a guy that comes into spring training healthy next year and looks a little bit sharper, the velocity picks a little bit up, I think this is a sneaky guy to keep an eye on for AL-only leagues next season in your mixed leagues, your 10, your 12, even your 15-team mixed leagues, he's probably not going to get drafted. But in an AL-only, I think he's a guy that you may be able to get away with spending a couple bucks on that has a decent impact if he can be healthy next year. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about A.J. Pollock, who's come back off of the DL and just hit the ground running. I want to know what your guys' thoughts are for next season, though. Mike, where are you going to be taking A.J. Pollock?
I'm hoping he goes at a discount. There's not much that – I mean, he suffered an elbow injury. And, for me, it's kind of fluky. First off, it shouldn't happen in the first place. So shame on you Diamondbacks for going for it all this offseason by picking up Shelby Miller and such. And, you know, then, you know, really sacrificing your borderline, you know, second best player on a, spring training game. But regardless of the fact, he was the number 11 outfielder in drafts this year. I can easily see him being in the top, you know, 50 or 60 as opposed to the top, you know, 36, which is where he was going in NFBC drafts towards the end. For me, I don't think anything has changed. I think his upside is still the same as it's been the last couple years of his career. And I'm completely on board. I'm not really even worried about what he does here in the rest of the season. I know what A.J. Pollock is. I know his skills. He plays an amazing ballpark. He can easily be another 2035 guy going into next year. Solid batting average. I mean, borderline first round type player. And I think you'll be able to get him at a pretty decent discount because of the fact that he got injured this year. So I'm all in on AJ Pollock, and I hope that he doesn't have a great rest of the year, because I want him to go at a little bit of a discount next year.
Matt, what are your thoughts on Pollock moving into next season?
I'm with Mike. I still think he's a third, fourth round talent. One thing I'm slightly concerned, yes, it's only 9 games and only 32 at bats, but he's only had one extra base hit. And I think with the elbow injury, the power, I'm worried about the power maybe not coming back to the 2015 levels, which it might not ever anyways. That could have been his year. I mean, 39 doubles, 6 triples, and 20 homers that year with a 315 average is damn good production. Not to mention, not to even count the steals, but I wouldn't bank on another 20 homers, but I mean, I think he could hit 15, 18 and give you and steal 40 to 50 bags even next year to make up for it. So I'm still all in on him. He might be a little different player, but I'm still in.
I have a feeling if he continues to hit the way he is, though, I mean, even without the power, that he may kind of have a Marcus Stroman like effect, where we saw Marcus Stroman come back for the last month last year, and then everybody overdrafted him this year. That would be my only fear, where people start going, well, this guy was a first, you know, late first, early second round pick. Maybe we need to start treating him the same going into next season. And then in that case, I'm out. I agree with you, Matt, that until I see the power come back, I'm going to discount it a little bit and just hope that it's a little bit extra gravy on top if it does come back to previous levels. But I mean, I like Pollock. I just don't think we're going to get the discount that we would have had he missed the entire season. Let's do a quick would you rather with Pollock for next season. Ian Desmond or Pollock?
Pollock.
Oh, man, that's tough. Pollock, but yeah, I don't believe in Desmond all the way, so Pollock.
For me, it's going to depend on where Desmond ends up and if they look at him as a potential shortstop. But I'm going to go Pollock. Ryan Braun or Pollock?
Gosh.
Braun, but I'm not confident.
I'm going Pollock.
I'm going to go
Braun. You know what? I'm going Pollock too.
I'm going to go Braun. The guaranteed power for me it was what makes the difference. Cargo or Pollock?
You're making this difficult.
That's my job.
I'm going with Pollock, but again, I'm not that confident in it.
I'm going to go Pollock.
I'm going Pollock.
I think Cargo gets traded, and anywhere he goes is going to be worse than where he's at.
All right, last one. George Springer or Pollock?
Damn, man.
I'm going Springer because I'm still drinking the bathwater.
I'm right there with you.
I'm going Springer too, even though he doesn't deserve it. Are you sure you're not going Jose Abreu, Matt? Because it's close.
I would. If that was an option, I'd take it.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up for this episode. Because my kid is going crazy and I'm about to have another coughing fit. So, Mike, why don't you tell people where you can reach and what you're working on?
You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. Check out the Fantasy Football Podcast. Check out the ranks. Our weekly rates are coming out this week if you're playing fantasy football. You can also check out our yearly ranks that are already up. We have a bunch of cool stuff up there for NFL on the site as well. We also have a ton of baseball stuff if you want to check that out. We have the Prospect Pod with Matt and I that just released yesterday, so check that out. You can read my daily matchups column on baseballhq.com. You can also check out my stuff on Fantasy Pros, and so check out all that out.
Matt, tell people where you can be reaching, what you're working on.
MD Top 24 on Twitter, and again, the Prospect Pod with Mike just released today. It was a damn good episode, covered about a bajillion players, so
but mostly Lugo.
Yeah, Seth Lugo, a little Ryan Schimpf thrown in, you know, prospects. But yeah, other than that, just hit me up on Twitter and get better, Justin. We don't want any more sniffles everywhere.
I'm just glad I didn't cough during the podcast. You can reach me on on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. You can email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Don't forget to go check out our sponsor, officialfantasyrings.com. Get 20% off at checkout using the promo code FWFB. Get a customizable ring for your fantasy baseball, fantasy football, or any fantasy leagues, and be able to show off your ring all season long. You can't drag a trophy or a belt through airport security, and everywhere you go. You can't bring it to dinner with you, but you can damn sure make everybody kiss your ring with a ring from officialfantasyrings.com. Definitely give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It definitely helps us out. And then, definitely check out all the football stuff that are going on right now. All my writing for football going on, friendsfantasybenefits.com. Like Mike said, we got rankings, podcasts. We have a new partnership with another podcast, or actually a video cast, but we're putting the audio version of that onto our football podcast, and as well as putting the video onto friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Definitely go check that out. Our buddy Tehol Bedick is part of that video cast, as well as our new buddy Andy Singleton from Nickel Press TV. And then last but not least, I just want to assure all of you baseball fans that if you don't play other sports and all that stuff, that in the off season, we're not going anywhere. We recorded through the offseason last year. We are planning to do that this year, and probably even bigger and better. My hope would be to get at least a weekly, if not two podcasts a week, out in the offseason. We are working that out to figure it out. And then we're going to come back full force at the beginning of next year with five podcasts a week. We're going to get back into that full time. But if you are one of those guys that gets pissed off because as soon as the regular season ends, all the other baseball podcasts disappear, we will try to get you guys as much content as we can in the off season, talking about kind of summarizing 2015 or 2016 and then looking ahead into 2017 and beyond. For you guys, Mike and Matt will be doing some prospect pods, and then we'll be doing some regular other pods. And I think 2017 is going to be the year of Friends Fantasy Benefits because we're going to add a whole bunch of new stuff, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So definitely stick with us through the off season. For Matt, Mike, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.